Last week, we began our summer series in the book of Psalms. We were looking at Psalms, or the 53rd Psalm last week. We learned about a fool, and a fool defined as someone who says in their heart that there is no God. We learned that that type of individual is going to lead a life that's not pleasing to God. It's going to lead to corruption. It's only going to lead to also taking advantage of the Lord's people. We learned that in Psalm 53. And it ended up with the recognition that the Israelites, the people of God, needs to rely on Him. It was a really good study. And today we're going to be in Psalm 51. 51 is a different heart condition. This is somebody who does recognize there is a God, but who has committed some pretty rough sins. We're going to go through those in a little bit of detail today. David had a lot of problems at this point. David wrote the book. You know, Wayne was sharing with me, he read about, was reading Psalm 51 ahead of time, and I'm going to try to quote what he said. He said, Psalm 51 is a prayer that all of us could say. It affects all of us. We're probably going to be in situations where we feel like David did when he wrote Psalm 51. It's a prayer. I think it's a good observation. Before we dig into Psalm 51, turn to 2 Samuel chapter 11. That's where we're going to start today. 2 Samuel chapter 11. We're not going to read about the whole account of David. But this is what had happened leading up to David writing Psalm 51. I'm going to provide a really quick summary of what led up to where we were going to start reading this morning. These are the sins that took place in his life. And then we're going to read a little bit about how he reacted when Nathan, a prophet from God, confronted him about those sins. So many of you know this story. As a reminder, one evening David was in bed, woke up, and was walking around from an elevated position and saw a woman bathing. A woman that was described as being very beautiful. At that time, lust, I think, entered into David's heart, so he asked about who this is. And he learned that that was Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah. At this time, Uriah was away to battle, so he was not around at this point. Because of David's lust that he had, he asked Bathsheba to come to his house. They ended up committing adultery. She became pregnant. So how did David react to that? Well, he developed a scheme to where he called, had Joab send Uriah back to his house and wanted to report back about how the people were doing that were on the battlefront. Uriah reported, and David said, okay, go home, hoping that he would be with Bathsheba. He didn't go home. He actually slept outside the door of the house of David with the servants. So David next, once he learned about it, got Uriah drunk, hoping Uriah would go home. He didn't go home then either. David asked him, why aren't you going home? He said, well, if the people I'm in battle with don't have this ability, we are camped out on a field, I'm not going to go home either. Lots of integrity there. So David, that didn't work. So he wrote a note, sealed it, gave it to Uriah. Uriah gave that note to Joab. Joab is the commander of the armies, and had an order to place Uriah at the forefront in a battle that was intense. And then once the battle was underway, pull away, abandon him, so he'd be killed. And he was. He was killed. So up to this point, what were the sins that David committed? There's a whole laundry list of them. You know, there was deception in his heart. He had lust in his heart. Envy. Committed adultery. There was impurity in his thoughts. Committed murder. These are some of the things that are, you know, deeds of the flesh that we've learned about in Galatians. But all these actions, of course, are not pleasing to God. But what we're going to pick up today is look at 2 Samuel chapter 11. And we're going to read verses 26 and 27. 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 26. Now when the wife of Uriah heard that Uriah, her husband, was dead, she mourned for her husband. When the time of mourning was over, David sent and brought her to his house, and she became his wife. Then she bore him a son. And then listen to this sentence. Pay attention to it. But the thing that David had done was evil in the sight of the Lord. Of course we know these things are going to be evil. They're sinful in the sight of the Lord. But at this point, it's almost like David wasn't self-aware of the implications or the seriousness of what he had done. But the Lord was. Just like today, the Lord knows when we sin. We'll kind of deal with that a little bit later once we get into Psalm 51. Then continue reading in chapter 12. Again, we're not going to read the full account. I'll kind of skip around a little bit here. But this is when Nathan, a prophet that God sent to David to confront him about these sins. Look at verse 1. Then the Lord sent Nathan to David, and he came to him and said, there were two men in one city, the rich and the other poor. The rich man had a great many flock and herds, but the poor man had nothing except one little ewe lamb, which he bought and nourished, and it grew up together with him and his children. It would eat of his bread and drink of his cup and lie in his bosom, and was like a daughter to him. Now a traveler came to the rich man, and he was unwilling to take from his own flock or his own herd, to prepare for the wayfarer who had come to him. Rather, he took the poor man's ewe lamb and prepared it for the man who had come to him. Then David's anger burned greatly against the man. And he said to Nathan, as the Lord lives, surely the man who has done this deserves to die. And he must make restitution for the lamb fourfold, because he did this thing and had no compassion. Nathan then said to David, you are the man. You can almost imagine David's whole heart just falling at that point in time, realizing that he had placed a judgment on himself, that this man deserves to die. He should repay back fourfold for what was taken from the poor man. But Nathan then went into detail about what had happened. Nathan knew and confronted David. Now, what was David's reaction? Skip down to verse 13. Then David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said to David, the Lord also has taken away your sin. You shall not die. Notice that David recognized at that point the serious nature of what he had done. That's when you can feel, or you can get the sense that he judged himself harshly. But notice what he's asking, how the Lord should judge him. He's asking for forgiveness. He's recognizing what he did. He said, I've sinned against the Lord. And how did the Lord judge him? The Lord said, I'm going to take away your sin. You shall not die. Now, it doesn't mean that there weren't any consequences to this. If you read on in the chapter, there is consequences to these actions. We're not going to go through those today. But the point is, I want you to kind of get a sense of where David is at the point of his life when he was writing the book of Psalm 51. So now turn to Psalm 51. Psalm 51. Now, we may not get through the full psalm today because it's rich in material. There's a lot in this psalm that still applies today. You're probably going to see some times in your life, you know, as Wayne mentioned, where you could be in the same situation that David is when he's writing this. You're going to see David making an appeal to God for a clean heart. You're going to see guilt has entered into David's life. There's a lot in the psalm. If we don't get through it today, we'll finish it up in a few weeks from now. But look at verse 1. Be gracious to me, O God, according to your loving kindness. David's simply asking for favor. He's asking for kindness from the Lord. He's asking for graciousness. He's asking for the Lord's loving kindness to grant him mercy. There's a lot of request and recognition of sin in that first verse. Continue on in verse 1. According to the greatness of your compassion. What does compassion mean? What's that, Eric? Have pity? Yep. Tender mercies. Compassion is one of those words that, you know, it's a sense that you can tell that others are in distress. That's kind of a way to put it. It's a conscious awareness of somebody who is in distress. And David is asking the Lord to have compassion on him. And knowing that the Lord does recognize that distress that David is feeling at this point. So what does David ask for because of this distress? Continue in verse 1. Blot out my transgressions. Now, transgressions, that's when we violate the law of God. That's when we sin. And it's a simple request, but nothing we can do. He's asking God to blot out these sins. Blot out doesn't mean cover up. It means remove. Like you're trying to remove a stain from a garment. Blot it out. Remove it as if it never happened. That's what David is asking from the Lord to give to him. David also knows the Lord has the authority to do it. He has that recognition that God does have that ability, and he's just seeking the Lord to do it. Look at verse 2. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Very simple verse. Wash me, cleanse me from my sin, cleanse me from the wickedness I have done. Look at verse 3. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. David is now fully self-aware of the sins that he's committed. Nathan confronted him. He can't hide. He's acknowledging that I have committed sins, and my sins are before me. You see them. You know, in the first three verses, you almost get the sense where David is appealing to God. He's asking for relief. He knows that the Lord can grant that relief. What about today, Joe?
I was going to say, with compassion, it's recognizing that somebody has such an unfortunate or something going on with them, but it requires some kind of reaction or action by you. Again, it's a cry of compassion for them, and then go on. It requires you to act on that in some way. And that's what we see here. He's asking God for compassion. He's asking for God to react in a positive way toward David.
Yeah.
If we're going to show compassion to somebody else, we've got to act on it. And say, oh, I have compassion for you. I'm sorry you're dealing with this.
Yeah, Joe is saying that, you know, to have compassion on somebody, you're going to recognize the situation, but you need to act on it as well. And that is what David is asking for here. Have compassion on me. Recognizes his transgressions. And we're going to see this more as we go through the 51st Psalm as well. Good points. Today, we're in that same situation today. You know, we may not commit the sins like David did at this point in time, those same sins, but we sin. But how is our sins forgiven? Are we recognizing those sins and appealing to God? Confessing those sins. And we know that we have forgiveness. Our sins are blotted out through Jesus. So it's something we have access to today. Remember that. Shay.
But like David in the first few verses that we read, when it brought to our attention, we should have that change of heart. It should convict us to change. You know, David was after God's own heart, so he was a Christian. He was somebody following the way. But he still messed up. And he still had that attitude of, I got away with it. I did what I wanted to do and I got away with it. So we as Christians can fall into that same mindset. Just because we give our lives over to God doesn't mean that we won't come across something that tempts us to where we fall into that David mindset of 2 Samuel. But we're supposed to come about it when we lost our time. When the Lord puts it in our faith, we're not supposed to defend it. We're supposed to go, oh my goodness, what have I done?
Yeah, Shay's bringing up a good point. You know, as mentioned, David may not have been fully aware of his sins. He was trying to cover them up. He may have thought he got away with it, but the Lord knew. It's a heart problem. We're going to go into that. You're kind of ahead of us a little bit. We're going to go into this a little bit in verse, I think it's verse 10. You know, it's a heart issue. You know, there's the heart is, it's been stained. And part of renewing that heart, we're going to get into this, like I said, but that's what it takes to renew. But you have to be aware of your sins. We're going to see this as well. You've got to be truthful with the Lord. All this is going to be within Psalm 51. So we'll continue. Good points and good comments. Yes.
It's just not in this process. And so I'm glad we studied what really happened. Also, they bring out Michael or Raquel, however you want to pronounce his wife's name. She feels neglected because he's so, into all of his kingship roles and blah, blah, blah. And so anyway, those two things, they kind of roll that into why the adultery happened. And that's why I wanted to let everybody know, study this ahead of time so that you can be aware of what really happened. And if you take children, they really won't understand why he was punished afterwards because they don't really bring out, which I get it. I get they don't bring out the kids won't understand.
Yeah. Yeah, Rita, I think the main point in that message is study the Word. You know, we can see and get all kinds of things from the world, whether that's through entertainment or people you visit with every day. There's a lot of ideas that are not biblically sound, and we need to study to make sure that what we're hearing and seeing is sound, because there's oftentimes a difference. So thank you for that. Let's continue in verse 4. In verse 4, starts off by saying, against you, you only, I have sinned and done what is evil in your sight. David is again acknowledging his sin, recognizing the evil that he has done in the Lord's sight. It's also a recognition that God is the one who can grant forgiveness if he so sees fit. And turn to Isaiah chapter 43, verse 25. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 25. Notice the sentence structure here. It's very similar to what David wrote in Psalm 51. And I'm going to read them back to back so you can kind of see the differences here. Isaiah 43, verse 25. I, meaning God, I, even I, am the one who wipes out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. Psalm 51, against you, you only, I have sinned and done what is evil in your sight. In Isaiah, you can see the supremacy of God, that I and I alone are the one that can do this. And David, in Psalm 53, is saying, you only are the one I'm sinning against. He's recognizing that God is the supreme being, and he's the one that can grant forgiveness. He's the one David needs to be confessing to because of what was written in Isaiah 43. I just thought that was a neat comparison with those two verses. So turn back to Psalm 51. Continuing on in verse 4. So that you are justified when you speak and blameless when you judge. Is God true? Is he righteous? Is there any darkness in him? There's none at all. He is, when he judges, it's going to be just. And David is recognizing that. Ron. Yeah, Ron's bringing up the point. You know, when we sin, it's sinning against God. We can do wrong to a brother, reconcile to that brother, but the sin is a sin to God. Now, it's going to affect your brother, and you hope that you can make up with them. They will be strong enough to forgive you. But we've got to ask God to remove that stain from our souls, to remove that, to blot it out. It's a sin against him. Good point. You know, in verse 4, when God's judgment is blameless, this is a place to contrast the way David was judging this situation in 2 Samuel versus the way God ended up judging him. Now, David judged himself, saying this man deserves to die. He deserves to repay the debt, what he did. The Lord is saying your sins are forgiven. He forgave them, forgave David. It's just interesting to see the two very different ways that was judging the same situation. In verse 4, we're seeing David acknowledging that, Lord, when you judge, you're blameless. If you're judging me harshly, I deserve that. You're blameless. Your judging is correct. But please remove my sins. Look at verse 5. Verse 5 is a tough one. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. This is almost David reflecting on his sinfulness. He's basking or wallowing in his sinfulness at this point in time. I am sinful. Now, for me, it makes more sense when I read verses 4 and 5 together in one setting. So think about what I've said so far, and I'm going to read these two verses together and think about it. Against you, you only I have sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are judged when you speak and blameless when you judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. David's really pointing out the fact that God is blameless. There's no sin in God. At all. But there is in man. There was, or there is in David. And David is saying, look, everything I do is sinful, but you are just. So let's move on to verse 6. Behold, you desire truth in the innermost being, and in the hidden part, you will make me know wisdom. And we go back to this several times. David had thought he'd gotten away with his sins, maybe temporarily. He was trying to cover them up. He may have known that he was sinning, but again, a lot of deception there. But also knew he couldn't hide from God. God desires the truth within David. When David's self-reflecting on his actions, if he's not in truth, how is he going to reflect upon his actions in the Lord's eyes? How is he going to know if he's sinned? If he knows he's sinned, he can ask for forgiveness, just like we do today. You've got to be truthful. Gets into Shay's point a minute ago. You know, we've got to reflect on ourselves honestly and truthful. And that's what God is desiring from us. Be truthful in our innermost being. That's what the Lord desires. And in the hidden part, you will make me know wisdom. You meaning God. Now, how are you going to know if you're being truthful about your actions? The only way to know is from wisdom. Wisdom that can only be attained from God. We covered this a minute ago. What if your wisdom comes from the outside, from the world? There is a worldly wisdom. People's advice are often contrary to what you learn in Scripture. If that's your truth is stained. You're going to need a new heart. We'll cover that in just a minute as well. But think about these things. Let's look at verse 7. And we are not going to get through 51 today. That's okay. We will finish it down the road. There's just a lot of material in 51. It's a really neat psalm. Purify me with hyssop, I shall be clean. Now hyssop, I had to look up what this is because I've never heard of hyssop. I've heard it in Scripture. But it's actually a plant. It's a relative to a mint, I think. But it's a plant. But in the Old Testament, comes up a couple times. One of them I know of is whenever the Passover took place, hyssop was used to spread the blood around the doorpost and lintel. More importantly, it's used as a cleansing instrument. When there is a leper, hyssop is used for the cleansing of a leper. Again, it's an act of purification. With that in mind, read the first part of verse 7 again. Purify me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. David is seeking to be purified. Again, that sin be blotted out. But how clean? Continue in verse 7. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. How white is snow? Jerry said, you can tell when when it snows and the sun's out, it's blinding. You can barely look at it. And at night even, if you've ever noticed, after it snowed and a full moon out, the ground almost seems to glow. It's so bright. That's how clean David wants. He wants to be clean. He's going to be whiter than snow. Whiter than what we see here on earth. That's how clean David is asking to be from the Lord. David also can't do that on his own. He's going to need to be purified. Look at verse 8. Make me to hear joy and gladness. This is an interesting statement. You know, if you're riddled with sin, how hard is it to be joyful and glad, especially if you're in a relationship with the Lord? Oftentimes you can't even hear joyful or gladness. David is asking to have that renewed. Help me be joyful. Help me to be able to hear joy. Let that return in my life. Again, that can only be done through the Lord. Continue in verse 8. Let the bones which you have broken rejoice. Another difficult verse. This is a way that David is saying, discipline me, and I will rejoice in that discipline. Real quick, turn to Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 10. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 10. You know, Ron brought up last week that parents should be teaching their kids that there is a God and the ways of God. Important point. To build on that a little bit, parents also discipline kids, both from a practical standpoint, keep them safe, but also to teach them the ways of the Lord. Look at Hebrews 12 and verse 10 real quick. For they disciplined us for a short time as seemed best to them, them meaning earthly fathers. But He, God, disciplines us for our good so that we may share in His, we may share His holiness. All discipline for the moment seems to not be joyful, but sorrowful. Yet to those who have been trained by it, afterwards it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. When we're disciplined, is that fun? I know when my parents disciplined me, that was not fun. When the Lord disciplines us, it's also not going to be fun. I've heard that before. It's going to hurt me more than it hurts you. And, you know, as a parent, I understood that years later. But, you know, within these verses, this isn't necessarily something we're going to enjoy. It's not going to be joyful going through discipline. But once you're disciplined in the Lord, what is it going to bear? It's going to yield peaceful fruit of righteousness. That's the reason the Lord is disciplining us. So go back to Psalm 51. Let the bones which you have broken, the discipline you have given me, rejoice. Let me rejoice through the discipline that I may need to receive or obtain because of my actions. Now look at verse 9. Hide your face from my sins and blot out my iniquities. This is almost a repeat or a restatement of what we've already read. Again, asking to be cleaned, to blot out my iniquities, blot out my sin. That's what David is asking for again in verse 9. You know, today, that's what Christ does for us. I'm going to say that again. We can't say that enough. You know, when we sin today and you're in the Lord or you've been baptized, you're part of Christ, does He see you and your sins? Or is He going to see you through Christ, clean of those sins, purified? And we can only have that by what God's given us through His Son, Jesus. Again, can't say that enough. And you see that over and over and over in the 51st Psalm. I think we've got just enough time to cover verse 10. If not, we'll pick it up there later. Verse 10, create in me a clean heart, O God. This is brought up several times. Shay had mentioned this a minute ago. You know, in the English language, create, it's one of those words that the English language does not do justice. Create can mean several different things. And in the Hebrew language, there's actually two words for create. There's asa, and I may be pronouncing it wrong, but asa is one word, and that's creating something from something that already exists. So you've got material, and you create something from that material. And then there's bara. Bara is making something from nothing. That's what we see and read about in Genesis. Genesis chapter 1. God made the heavens and the earth. That created term is bara, made something from nothing. In Psalm 51, in verse 10, create is the term bara, making something from nothing. Now think about that whenever you read it again. Create in me a clean heart, O God. David's not asking for his heart to be purified necessarily in this context. He's asking for God to create, to bara, to make something from nothing, a clean heart in me. The only person that can do that is God. David's recognized it. He understands that I have made mistakes. My heart is no longer clean. I'm having trouble recognizing my sins. I'm having trouble being truthful with you. I need a new heart. It needs to be a clean heart. Eric. Absolutely. Good point. We're actually going to read about that in just a minute. So yeah, great point. Chuck. Chuck's saying there's nothing in that old heart you want to use anyway, and that's right. If it's stained, if you've got clothes that's stained really bad, you know, that's the clothes you just use to work in. You know, it's, you want a new heart. Remove all these stains. Remove all the sin. And again, only God can do that. Now, I think we're going to stop here. Jim is going to be teaching next week out of Psalm 52. So if you want to read ahead, read Psalm 52. And we're going to come back and finish out Psalm 51 in a couple weeks. But thanks for your time today, and Jim will be up next week. Thank you.